2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
This is the MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, what a better time to do so. Go use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, WIN on DFSArmy.com, and you can check us out for 7 free days. That'll give you access to our 24/7 Slack chat that we got going on there with all the great names in the industry there. You could also check out the Domination Station for all your golf and NASCAR events as well. Don't forget about the baseball stuff with our great tools and whatnot, VIP lineups page, and of course Burnsy's Analytics Corner. All of that is yours for 7 free days. All you gotta do is use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, or if you like what you hear so far and you just want to sign up already, make sure you use the promo code PODCAST, because that's where you heard it. I am your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Also on Instagram at 14a.walsh, if you like. I just found out that the DFS Army had a Instagram page today, so that's great. Great job by one of their employees just noticing that. And, of course, Keith Hall joining me as always. Find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So I guess the big story out of last night was to Atlanta or not to Atlanta, and not just with the Braves but with the Phillies as well. We had these conflicting weather reports. I'm always like, yeah, let's go for it, and I just saw way too many radars and whatnot that did not look good. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as we had first pitch, it ended up being just fine. I don't believe there was one drop of rain. I saw a guy behind the Phillies dugout wearing a poncho, but I don't even know what the hell he was doing because he didn't need it. And Philly Stacks ended up taking all the money last night.
You know what he needed it for, right? All the bombs that ended up dropping. Wow.
I was really on the to save you from bombs, but yeah.
Yeah, I was on the complete opposite. I mean, I had Odubel Herrera in a couple lineups, or in a lineup, but I completely overlooked, and that's my fault. They were all over Boomer's Ballers, but I completely overlooked putting them in a lineup. I was more focused on the Braves side of things for whatever reason. I don't know why, but yeah. I was, and it ended up costing me some money. Still had a pretty decent night, but it's the Reds. You know, they got to Carlos Martinez, but they didn't blow up Carlos Martinez. So. That was, I was heavily invested in that one.
And in Carlos?
No, in, Reds.
Gotcha.
You know, they got to him, but they didn't kill him like the Phillies killed Bartolo Colon. So, yeah, it was kind of a perfect situation that we wanted last night. They were going to be lower owned because of the weather. They were going up against probably the worst pitcher on the slate, and it ended up working out if you went that way. But unfortunately, I just did not because of whatever reason. I just forgot about him. And, you know, even doing this for a living, you know, when you try to, you know, make the best possible decisions, and I was so tunnel visioned on the Reds and the Cardinals that I, you know, just completely overlooked him. I, however, did not overlook Jeff Samardzija. I just didn't think he was going to get you 60 FanDuel points.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it. Is there a capability of him doing that? Yes, absolutely. But did I like it? No. Especially since he was 35% owned. I still say it was the right play to, I didn't stack against him, but I faded him. I still say it was the right play because of, you know, who it is and his ownership. And we'll talk about some situations tonight that we're going to end up running across as well. But it just didn't work out. And he looked good last night. I will have to say that. He has, over his last couple starts, barring one, he has looked pretty good. And, you know, in good matchups, if he's going to be lower owned, I think it's somebody that we can go to in tournaments. I just don't like playing Jeff Samardzija when he's going to be the chalk.
Right. And, you know, I had Samardzija last night when I had him. Just I didn't go digging all through my contest, but the one contest I looked at, I believe, is the $10 single entry, and he was – and this is on FanDuel, and he was 20% over there. So, I mean, that's perfect. That's fine for Samardzija. And, you know, Seymour was
that
only like –
That still sounds high for Samardzija to me.
On a – what, on a seven-game slate? I mean, that is decent. So – you had C-Mart there in that same contest, I believe at 12, 13%, somewhere around those lines. So I think we are seeing a lot more people not paying up for pitching. They're trying to, you know, get that cost-efficient guy in there. And I think, you know, we probably saw more Gio Gonzalez, guys like Ryu.
No.
I didn't even check those out. But
I mean, that's what
I feel like people are trying to do anyway. But
trying, maybe, but Gio was, because he was going up against the Dodgers, who are one of the hotter teams in baseball, in the $10 single entry, Gio was 5.1% owned.
Jeez.
You know, it was...
What about Ryu? Any idea there?
I don't know. Ryu was popping up all over the... the optimals that I was running yesterday with our projections, and I mean, even Sean Manaea was 25% owned.
Okay. That's
so he was your default punt option that it looked like. And you definitely didn't need Samardzija to win. Like I said, I had Gio going just because I like, we've done it all year. I like picking on the Dodgers with left-handed bats. Ryu was 2.3%. So it's definitely, and what you're seeing right now is, you know, this guy had a Houston stack with Altuve, Correa, and Springer, and all of them were over 20% owned. Matt Carpenter was 32.9% owned. Even Odubel Herrera was 14.7. So
yeah,
ownership percentages, they're starting to tend right now towards the quote unquote hot player, or good players in good matchups, which is nothing out of the norm. But you know, these are guys that were touted very, very highly off of sites like RotoGrinders and SiriusXM and stuff like that. So I believe that could end up helping us get to an advantage. So, we're going to keep using that.
Yep, for sure. With Samardzija last night, again, I did not see many quality options out there. And again, you mentioned it, but he's done pretty well. I mean, he's still got a very low ERA, I believe in the high twos there. But, you know, a lot of people aren't really ready to believe it yet because, you know, of what his record is. I believe he's at 2-7, but I mean, the numbers don't lie with him. He's been pitching very well here over the last month or so. And, you know, his only bad start there was against the Nationals, which was to be expected. So, you know, good for him. All right. Now, on a night like tonight, 15 games, we got plenty of pitching options. You know, plenty of good pitching options as well. So we kind of got to sort through all this and see who exactly is the king of the hill tonight. Now, again,
shouldn't
tonight,
be that hard.
On a full slate, on these like tonight, I'm going to end up playing over on Fantasy Draft. I only like taking the two pitchers when there's multiple games or 30 pitchers that you can choose from. So I will be doing that tonight. But this is a pretty intriguing matchup that I'm going to try out over there on Fantasy Draft tonight. But the matchup there with Chris Archer and Jose Quintana, with both of these guys. So we know when we're going to pick on the White Sox, we do it with right-handed pitching. And the Rays, well, you can kind of pick on them at any point, but left-handed pitching has certainly given them some trouble this season. So you got a 7.5 total on this game. Okay, whatever. But, you know, we see Archer and Quintana both grading out very highly in this matchup. So I will certainly try that over there on Fantasy Draft. Is it the best possible two-pitcher combination, though?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what their prices are over there on Fantasy Draft, but I am finding it very, very hard to and I don't like doing it anyways. I don't like pitting pitchers against each other because basically what you're hoping is that the game is like 1-0 or 2-1. I would rather, you know, if I'm building multiple lineups, have one in one and one in the other, especially if they're around the same price, you know, just roll out the same lineup, just, you know, alternate the pitchers. But, you know, you've got Jacob DeGrom going against the Rangers. They're, you know, a team that has the ability to kind of, you know, strike out a little bit. They're striking out at 23.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching. You know, you do have Quintana, who's got the highest opponent strikeout percentage of the night, but you've also got guys like, you know, Marco Estrada against the A's. Now, what you're hoping for here is that he doesn't get pummeled with the power, because the A's shockingly have a 207 ISO versus right-handed pitching this season. Like, that's big.
Yeah, 216 over the last 14 days, third best in the majors as well.
Yeah, so depending on what the numbers show, but you've also got Robbie Ray going against the Padres. Yeah. And I believe he's had a pretty decent history against the Padres, if I'm not mistaken. So that's not the best combo, in my opinion. You know, Archer on the road or Archer at home is always a very, very, very good, you know, play. But I'm just not sure about Jose Quintana. The reason is because when you're talking about a guy like Quintana, he gets in his head a lot. It's going to neutralize some of the power in that Tampa Bay's offense, but it's still an offense that can put up some runs and put up some runs in bunches. And it's not like the White Sox bullpen is been, you know, nails over the last couple weeks. So
by nails, you mean
good. Okay. They've been decent, but there have been some struggles.
All right, fair enough. Don't forget, too, we've got Max Scherzer on the slate in Los Angeles, but this one's interesting, too, because the Vegas data is not pointing in his direction.
At the
Open, the Nationals were only 115 favorites last night, so he is going up against Brandon McCarthy, who's a pretty good pitcher in his own right, but again, as a Dodger pitcher in general, he's not going too far. I should say, as a Dodger pitcher not named Clayton Kershaw, he is not going too far into games anyway, but he has been certainly serviceable, you know, just in the innings that he has worked. So that's pretty interesting. And when we get to the stacks, I might have a little sneaky play. Obviously, I kind of just told it right there. But, you know, Scherzer has been prone to give up the long ball before. Certainly this season, I believe, what, he gave up 30 somewhere around there last season? So,
yeah, it was...
you know, a lot of these lefty Dodger bats can certainly be very interesting for tournaments. And a lot of them are priced down under 3,000 on FanDuel.
Exactly. And, you know, we've talked about it with Scherzer. It's not really the home run. The home runs hurt him, but, you know, he doesn't give up a lot of, you know, 2- and 3-run home runs. He gives up a lot of solo shots. So you can use that to your advantage. You know, if you're not playing Scherzer in a lineup, grab a couple of those bats and let's go to work.
There you go. Let's see what else we got here on the mound. I enjoyed that Robbie Ray play there against it. James Paxton, now he's an interesting one. You got, I believe, the Mariners the highest Vegas favorites tonight, or they were at the Open last night.
Yeah, over 220, I believe.
So Paxton looked impeccable in that first start since May 2nd when he was put on the DL. So here's the thing with Paxton. In order for him to have 40 FanDuel points in his first game back. He was basically flawless in that game. So you kind of – like, you need that. And Paxton did not get the quality start. I believe he finished 2 outs shy of getting that extra 4 points on FanDuel. But I mean, it's tough to overlook that with Vegas already making him the highest favorite on a night where we've got Archer, Ray, Scherzer, guys like that. I mean, they're certainly pointing us in the right direction, but Paxton's certainly interesting here.
The problem I have is you've got guys like Miguel Sano, Brian Dozier, Eduardo Escobar that are, you know, really, really, really good about hitting left-handed pitching. I don't know what the weather is going to be like there. I don't know which way the wind's blowing. I don't know if the roof is going to be open or closed. But those are the three guys that I'm worried about the most. Now, that's not saying that, you know, Paxton can't go out and have a good game. I mean, obviously, he's got a very, very good chance for a win. I mean, with Hector Santiago going on the mound against him, he's got an enormous chance for a win.
As Vegas said.
On FanDuel, I don't know. I'll have some Seattle exposure. I just don't know how I'm going to have it yet because I don't know if I want James Paxton and three guys or if I want more Seattle bats and I'll go to pitching somewhere else. The reason I say that is if you look at it, you know, you've got James Paxton at 9,300. I can go get Robbie Ray for, you know, $700 more, or I can go down to Chase Anderson for 8,800. Drew Pomerantz for 8,400. He's going to be low owned tonight. You can go get Aaron Nola for 75.
God bless you.
Antonio Senzatella for 69. You know, there's some options that are available to you, and you don't need to go to James Paxton. I think he's going to be lower owned just because of the fact that Max Scherzer's kicking around the same time. Mm-hmm. In fact, he is kicking at the same time, mm-hmm. You know, and he's $2,600 less. But I don't know. I'm torn right now between trying to get more Seattle bats or trying to get James Paxton in. And I think a good way to go is to get James Paxton and three Seattle bats on FanDuel. Now on DraftKings, you could go, you know, five Seattle bats and James Paxton and, you know, just load them up. But I don't think that you can do that on FanDuel now. Or I know that you can't do it on FanDuel. Now, the big thing is that when you're sitting there looking at his price on DraftKings, it is 8,800. So I definitely will have more exposure to him on DraftKings than I do on FanDuel, just because of that.
Now, I get just in closing with the pitching here, guys all know I'm a firm believer in the bat system by Derek Hardy there. So what is interesting I found about this, and by the way, me and Keith are talking about this prior to the show, and you know the pitching rankings have just been incredible over the last couple of days. But Chris Archer over there is not only ranked as the highest pitcher, but also the highest dollar per point pitcher. So just wanted to add that in there. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, if you go by our projections right now, I mean, obviously you've got Scherzer, Archer, Arrieta, but Paxton is number four. I mean, they're all right there. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pitchers projected over 35 points today on FanDuel. So there's definitely some options that you can dive into.
Very nice, very nice. All right, let us get to some of these bats that we got here. I like talking about the stacks first so that, you know, we can kind of pick and choose the pieces a little later. Who's really popping out to you tonight?
Outside of Colorado and Cleveland? Yeah. I'm probably not even going to go with Cleveland bats just because Senzatella's been so good. He has not allowed a lot of – if I'm not mistaken, and I'm going to go look here real quick, but I don't believe he's had that game where he's blown up. He's had now three in the last four starts. He has allowed four runs, but that's the most he's allowed all season. And those four run games were against Seattle, Cincy, and Los Angeles, and also Washington. I mean, you talk about offenses that, you know, can put the ball in play and, you know, kind of knock you around the yard. Nobody expected this from this guy. So it's kind of just one of those things that you've got to really pay attention to. It's not something that I'm going to do. And I think from what I'm hearing, people are thinking that the Cleveland Bats can get to him. And I don't think they can. And I'm not saying that as a homer. I'm saying that just by looking at you know, what he's done.
Right. No, and, you know, you look at the numbers, they're actually very good. I mean, I was shocked when I was inputting, you know, all my data last night, and he is, I believe, what, 7-2 there with the, come on, Sanzatello, where the hell are you? 7-2, 3.49 ERA. So, I mean, just looking at it on a fly-by perspective, yeah, that is certainly impressive. But, hey, look, let's make no mistake about it. These Indians bats have disappointed us plenty of times before. And I will say the one guy I'm always interested in is Bradley Zimmer. Pretty cheap, but, you know, being in Colorado, he's certainly going to have his price raised a little bit tonight. So
let's see here. Bradley Zimmer is $3,300.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So, I mean, you've got Cargo, who's absolutely just crushing the ball right now. I know he didn't have a good series against San Diego, but you look at it and just go look at his game log, and he's raised his average from like in the 170s all the way up to 234. So he's starting to hit the ball a lot better and with a lot more authority. And we see this from Cargo every single season, it seems like. And we'll talk more about him later, but I hope this weather scares people off like Atlanta did last night. Because everybody gets scared when you're talking about, you know, weather in Denver. Because it's not as predictable as it is around the rest of the country just because of the mountains. The problem with that is that I'm going to tell all of our listeners right now, they need to get this game in because it's a short, quick series. But, you know, we've already been to Cincinnati, so we're not going to the state of Ohio this year. And you know, the Rockies are the only team in the Mountain Time Zone, so it's not like they are the Indians can make a quick stop in Denver to make up this game. They are going to do everything they possibly can to get this game in. So I am not worried about it whatsoever, because the last thing that the Rockies want to do is play a day-night doubleheader tomorrow.
Ooh. All right. You heard it here first, folks. What about some of these other stacks outside of the Denver area this evening?
I really, really,
really,
really like Seattle, obviously.
Right.
Oakland is interesting just because of the power that they've shown.
And it's much better against righties.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, against righties. They've got the highest ISO against right-handed pitching. Or the highest ISO on the slate tonight against their handedness of pitching. So that's pretty interesting. Obviously the Astros against a guy that's thrown 6 2/3 innings this season is pretty interesting as well. If you look at Jakob Junis's, and it's probably Jake Junis, but I like calling him Jakob Junis.
No relation to Jakob Hurdle.
No kidding. If you look at his Sierra, it's 6.73, which is by far the highest on the slate. I'm probably going to go to Astro Stack tonight as well. Right. I don't mind going. I don't mind going back to. I know he's looked good lately, but I don't mind going back to the Reds against Adam Wainwright, either.
All right. That'll work. I am a fan of the New York Yankees baseball tonight in the Bronx. Going up against Drew Pomeranz. He's been better lately, but I still like a lot of these right-handed bats. I mean, you got guys like Aaron Judge. Aaron Hicks, Matt Holliday, that whole outfield out there has been hitting left-handed pitching pretty well this season. That's a good idea. Even Didi Gregorius, we talked about him against left-handed pitching all the time. He was hitting 320 against lefties last season. He's at 306 this season against lefties, so he could be an interesting way to get some exposure there that people aren't thinking about. I got to keep it in New York with the Mets on FanDuel. A lot of these guys are just priced incredibly cheap, on FanDuel tonight going into Texas. I mean, you got a couple of guys like Lucas Duda, I believe Neil Walker, Asdrubal Cabrera, all under $3,000 or just above $3,000. So those guys can work. Also, don't mind in that same Yankees game there with the Red Sox with Tanaka. It is a Tanaka Tuesday. But this guy has just absolutely sucked lately. If you look at his numbers here, he's given up at least 6 earned runs in 3 of his last 4 starts. He did have that one good start there against the A's within that stretch, but I'm still not impressed by this guy at all. He did throw a complete game gem against the Red Sox at Fenway Park earlier this season, but I don't know. This is just a much different pitcher that we got going up against this Red Sox team tonight, and I think that they can do some serious damage. Red Sox offensive numbers of late haven't been that great, but again, Tanaka's just really sucked lately.
Have you seen his BVP against him?
I saw a couple.
It's not good.
Yeah, whatever. It's time for a change.
I'm just saying that if you feel like you want to fade the Boston Red Sox stack, being that they could be very highly owned, it's not a bad move, and there's some numbers there to support it a little bit.
Keith, I would stack the local high school team against Tanaka.
I understand that. I understand that. I'm just saying, I think we also need to look at the Chicago Cubs against Jeff Locke.
Sure.
Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, it's just... Anthony Rizzo. Anthony Rizzo has 4 home runs off of Jeff Locke.
Yeah, I saw that.
Think those guys are really, really kind of in play as well.
We talked about that massive win that was going on in Chicago last night. One thing, and this would benefit me watching MLB Network at about 4 o'clock in the morning last night, but that giant scoreboard out there in left field kind of blocks the wind there in that left center alley. So that's where you saw Chris Bryant, somebody else homered last night. Was Almora?
It was either Almora or Contreras. I can't remember which.
But both were right there in that left field alley, that left center alley where the scoreboard is blocking it. So,
and there's another one in right field too.
Yeah, you get some of that relief there as well. But there were more than a couple balls that definitely would have went out on a normal night last night, but they got knocked down by that wind. I know Contreras had one. Jason Hayward had another one where they would have been long gone on a normal day. But how we basically said, to hell with that whole game yesterday. Maybe not the right move, and, you live and you learn through these different things.
Yeah, but it definitely doesn't swirl like we used to think it does anymore. So,
yes, indeed. I thought I had one more. Yes, the LA Dodgers tonight. This is GPP only sort of play here, but just given what the Vegas odds are, the Nationals are still favored, but I still want, just given what the odds are in favor of the Dodgers tonight. I think that you got a couple interesting bats there, all under $3,000. I mean, guys that are, perennially home run hitters, maybe like a Yasmani Grandal, maybe a Bellinger, guys like that, who we can just one-off for our homer upside. I think they could be very interesting for that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of one of those things that, that just keeps going. I'm not going to give all of them out, but we have talked about one of the free squares already today. So.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Free squares just came out, so, and we've talked about one of them already, which is kind of nice.
Donuts had a value article out today, too. I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but
I haven't either.
The people can certainly check that out. All right, let's talk about some catchers. I mentioned the Yankee stack. Well, I did not mention Gary Sanchez. He is going up against the lefty.
As you probably shouldn't have.
You're not a Gary Sanchez fan, huh?
I am not a Gary Sanchez fan. The dude's got against the lefty, the dude's got a 241 WOBA and a 0 ISO with a 308 OB ISO. His DFSA grade is a minus 4.51.
Really? Now,
I know and understand that he is a righty with power that can hit the ball. But we got to understand this. What he did in August and September last year, we knew was unsustainable. He hasn't done crap this year. He's overowned. Unless the numbers from Fangraphs is pulling it wrong, which I am going to double check right now. He's not doing well.
You looking at the numbers?
I'm looking them up right now, yes.
I don't see how you can say that this guy is not a good hitter. I mean,
I never said he wasn't a good hitter. I said that he has done crap.
This matchup against Pomeranz is still a good one. Like, all these numbers are going to normalize at some point. Like, he's just not never going to hit a lefty again.
We don't know what normal is with him. Because he doesn't have as many – he doesn't have the at-bats that is required to for us to consider normal yet in the majors. He doesn't. If you're going by what the numbers say, they say it takes around 750 to 1,000 at bats, which is about a year and a half for numbers to become normalized. So you can have a good outlook of what a hitter could be. We don't have that in Gary Sanchez yet. We have career numbers. We have a lot of different things, but we do not have the ability to sit there and say this guy is a masher against lefties when he hasn't done it. There we go, Gary Sanchez. His splits, yeah. I mean, we're talking about versus left-handed pitching. There's really not anything there that has me saying this is something that he can do.
All right, fair enough. Well, even if he's still not in that threshold of career at bats or whatever. Look, I like him against Pomeranz. You know, Pomeranz not a hard throwing lefty, a guy that, you know, he should be able to wait back on, and you know, any fly ball here in Yankee Stadium pretty much has a chance of going out. So from that perspective, I like it. Sure, you got the numbers to back your side of the argument up, but in this matchup, I like him tonight.
I mean, he has homered. He's 2-for-4 off of Pomeranz. So I mean, I'm just saying that. Right now, the way he's doing, I don't know if he's still hurt. I don't know if he's just not seeing the ball well or what. But he's got one RBI against left-handed pitching this season. He's got 4 hits. Now, it's 26 plate appearances. I mean, we've got to understand that he did spend a lot of time on the disabled list. But, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's it doesn't seem like he's actually doing anything well against left-handed pitching this season. And whether that's him being hurt or, you know, whatever the case and issues are, I just, for his ownership percentage, what he usually carries, I don't see a reason to go there if I'm being 100% honest, which I'm trying to be.
All right, fair enough. Well, some of that ownership percentage could be taken away by a guy like Alex Avila tonight. How are you feeling about him?
I don't mind Alex Avila at all. He's not my favorite catcher, but he is one of the top ones on my board. Just the way that he's been hitting the ball, it just – I mean, he's got the second highest DFSA grade, and the only one he's behind is Buster Posey. So I really do kind of like him tonight, especially if he's hitting in that six hole. You know, for whatever reason, they've been moving the thing around. So if he's hitting in that six hole, then I really, really, really do like him.
That guy, now Buster Posey, I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy like him. Yeah, he's got the average down pat and everything, but not really hitting for much power. That's certain. A guy like Posey, we're trying to pay up. And, yeah, I believe he's even more more expensive than Gary Sanchez. Yeah, 300 more on FanDuel than Gary Sanchez. But I don't know. I mean, again, for a guy that we're paying all that money for and he's not really putting out that much power, that's certainly concerning.
Yeah, he started to hit the ball with a little bit more power recently, but then it kind of went away. So he had a week long power surge, and then it kind of went away. So, I like it in this park, but he's so expensive, and I think is a part of a stack. Like if you want to go Belt, Crawford, Nunez, and Posey, I think that's a good way to go. But as a one-off, I think I can find, especially at the catcher position, I mean, you can go down and you can look at it. I mean, Martin Maldonado versus Daniel Norris tonight's 2,400. You got Cameron Rupp versus Jaime Garcia, that's 2,200. Tucker Barnhart's 24. Omar Navarez is 23. And now I know it's Chris Archer, but, you know, what do you need out of your catcher, what, six? You've got Tony Walters, who's 3,300. Russell Martin, if he's back in the lineup. Jonathan Lucroy. These are all guys that are cheaper than the 3,900. Buster Posey's by far the most expensive catcher on the board, and I just don't think that you need to go there. Anybody above 3,500, as far as at the catcher position tonight, I can't play. Not unless they're part of a stack.
Okay, the guys in Arizona too, Chris Sionetta, Chris Herrmann, if those guys, you know, there's a chance that both of them are always going to be in the lineup since Herrmann can play
anywhere.
So those are, I mean, Herman's what, 2,100 batting in Arizona. That could be a ridiculous, you know, return on investment right there for you. Grandal, who I mentioned with that Dodgers stack, could be a nice one-off going up against Max Scherzer. Somebody's hitting homers off Scherzer tonight, goddammit. So let it be Yasmani. You mentioned Cameron Rupp too against the lefty. I don't mind that.
Yep.
All right. First baseman here, Lucas Duda, batting in Texas tonight on FanDuel. I believe he's under $3,000. Do we need any more?
Do we need any more?
I mean, like, convincing.
Joey Votto, who's absolutely owned Adam Wainwright. I know you're paying up, but I still like him. Yuli Gurriel last night had a good night. Obviously, Paul Goldschmidt, he's always in play. Brandon Belt. Mark Reynolds, I know his numbers look good, but he's not seeing the ball the way that he was. He's always on play, obviously, because he's in Coors right now. But he's not hitting the ball. He's not as hot as he was at the beginning of the season. And for 3,900, I think I'm probably going to fade that tonight. I'll go somewhere else. You know, you can go Yonder Alonso for $3,500 or $3,400. You can go Brandon Belt for 36. You know, let's see, Victor Martinez, 32. Matt Carpenter is $3,100 going against Tim Adelman in Cincinnati. I mean, he was highly owned last night on a seven-game slate. I don't think he's going to be nearly as highly owned tonight as he was last night.
No, he'll go bananas tonight. With Carpenter, I mean, this guy, he's just not hitting the ball. I think he's got, like, five hits over his last 10 games. I know and it's funny, too, because last night he was priced all the way up. Tonight, I believe he's at 3,100 there on FanDuel.
I'll buy low on him.
Yeah, certainly. I think that would be – I mean, this is the perfect spot. And, again, I think 26% owned last night for Matt Carpenter. And, again, I saw him, on top of, a whole bunch of different projections, and I'm like, I don't buy this on Matt Carpenter. I really don't. But, again, wouldn't tonight be the perfect night for him to break out the night after everybody had him? And then I know for a fact nobody will have him tonight on a 15-game slate. And that one has nothing to do with the numbers. That's gut call.
I mean, we know how it happens. If you have a highly owned chalk player that ends up dudding, i.e. Matt Carpenter last night, then go back to him the next day. Even if it's in one lineup, go back to him because he's not going to suck forever. Chop was saying this in Slack last night. He's an established hitter. He has issues not being in that leadoff spot, but they got Dexter Fowler. Now, I think I've long said that I think that they should move Carp back to the leadoff spot and put Fowler in the two hole. Fowler used to hit in the two hole coming up through the minors in his original days with the Rockies. But, you know, he's so fast and everything. He runs like a freaking deer that they put him in the leadoff spot, which is good. But when you've got a guy like Carpenter who, you know, has issues hitting in any other spot other than the leadoff spot, why not just do that? And, like, this is one of the frustrations that Cardinal fan has with Mike Matheny is it seems like he just does what he wants to do and doesn't look at the numbers and just, like, okay, right, I like this lineup tonight, you know?
You still got old souls like that in the game. Plenty of them.
Yeah, he's trying to be Tony La Russa, and he's not. So, you know, you can – it's just kind of one of those things. But, you know, I'm willing to go back with the price drop that Carpenter had. I'm willing to go back to Carpenter, especially since he was chalk and he basically did nothing. Or not basically. He did do nothing.
He did do-do.
Yeah. So, and I think Cameron's looking at me going, why aren't you changing my doo-doo? I have a ripe smell, but I'm not sure if it's this or something that died outside.
Okay. Moving along. Let's see there. First baseman, anybody? Eric Thames, Jesus Aguilar going up against Matt Cain tonight. A lot of these Brewers are projecting out pretty well here against.
Is this the night that Matt Cain finally shows back up in the 2017 season?
I would think so. The only thing that's a little bit troubling is that the Brewers offense here over the last 2 weeks has kind of just gone in a hole and, you know, put their head between their legs and said to hell with everyone. I mean, you know, over the last 14 days, they got the highest K rate in the league. I know their ISO, WOBA, WRC, all that stuff over the last 2 weeks is just bottom of the barrel type stuff, along with these same Giants, but, you know, they do have a non-total on this game tonight. It wasn't an 8 last night, so, you know, that is something to keep in mind. And then the Brewers, you know, they're pretty lofty favorites in this game, and I don't think it has a lot to do with, you know, Chase Anderson. I'm sure he's going to have a good pitching night. I don't see him having too many strikeouts tonight, so... what I see here from Vegas looks like a good Brewers night. And again, Matt Cain, we've seen this movie before.
Yes, we have. But he's actually pitched pretty decently over the last couple starts.
I don't know where the matchups were, but San Francisco can do that for a person.
Let's see here.
I was just checking it out. A little interested.
Okay, I missed the start against Washington, although he did throw – I mean, he was one inning away basically from a quality start. He just didn't have a lot of strikeouts. But, you know, Atlanta, minus the start against St. Louis where he allowed 7 earned runs. You know, he's been better this year than he has been a lot of other years.
Wonder if this central trend can continue. 9 earned runs against the Reds. 9 earned runs against the – or I'm sorry. 9 earned runs against the Reds, 7 against the Cardinals, both on the road. Maybe he just doesn't like the center of America.
Yeah, he likes the West Coast.
Nah. California. Okay. That should do it for first baseman. There are plenty of options on there. Let's talk about second baseman. Neil Walker, 3,100, FanDuel in Texas. I don't know if it gets any better than that.
Jason Kipnis in Denver.
I thought you didn't like Indians today, Keith, huh?
I never said I didn't. I said I didn't like him as a stack.
Okay.
That's not saying that, you know, Jason Kipnis can't get to Senzatella.
Hey, you get one Indian or you get them all right?
How about Jed Lowry versus Marco Estrada for 2,400?
That's a good one. I like that.
Jonathan Scope against his old pal, Ivan Nova.
Fantastic. Well, not fantastic BVP, but 4-for-10, and then he's been running hot lately. Yes, I like it.
Starlin Castro against Drew Pomeranz. Not good numbers, but still a pretty – I mean, it's a good matchup considering the situation. But
ballpark.
Yeah, good ballpark as well. So, I mean, there's options.
Sure.
You know, DJ's been hitting the ball a lot better. Jose Peraza versus Adam Wainwright. I mean, I really like the Neil Walker play. Let's see here. Ryan Schimpf against Robbie Ray. I know it's left on left, but still.
He probably won't even get the start.
Javi Baez, 2,600 versus Jeff Locke, yeah, who he's kind of had some pretty good success against. So I mean, there's a lot of options. I'm typically up for paying down unless it's paying up to get a guy that can have the possibility of double donging at low ownership. I think Daniel Murphy's going to be – or not Daniel Murphy, sorry. I think Neil Walker's going to be very chalky tonight, though.
Daniel Murphy, you say?
No, Neil Walker.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Didn't you start off with Neil Walker?
I certainly did.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, it's to be expected. A lot of these Mets are going to be chalky. Their prices are absurd tonight. Not to be a homer, Cesar Hernandez, I believe he's hitting over 300 against left-handed pitching this season.
He is.
The ballpark works out pretty well, you know, for a lot of these Phillies hitters. So, do my hand. We didn't even mention Tommy Joseph on the first baseman, but he's on there as well. I love that Jed Lowry play. You wonder when FanDuel's going to raise that price, and I feel like sometimes we just forget about him because you never see him at the top of the list. You just always assume he's gonna be up there in price, but nope.
He's been at the top of my list.
Well, I mean, in terms of the price list.
Oh yeah, I left.
When you click on second baseman,
I left and he was $2,300. I come back, he's $2,400.
He didn't go anywhere. Man, not going anywhere. But yeah, he's always a fantastic option. Estrada, you know, mainly a fly ball pitcher, and we see a lot of balls flying out here in Oakland. Now they're barely grazing the wall out there, but they're getting over that damn fence over there. So something's going on in O.co. Maybe they got the what do they have, the humidifiers there in
humidor?
Humidor. Maybe
they don't need it. They have the marine.
Maybe they got the dehumidor out there.
They have the marine layer.
They got an anti-marine layer now. They added one. But, yeah, the balls are flying out of there with precision. And it's so funny, too, because it's like right across the bay there in San Francisco, nothing's flying out. But in Oakland, everything's fine.
Yep.
So, interesting to see. You want to get real crazy, Chase Utley. Again, don't mean to be a homer. But 2,200 there against Scherzer. Again, I just – everything with Vegas is saying about – this money line on this game, it's making me think Dodgers, so you know that could be an interesting way to go.
Yeah, exactly. I really do like the Dodgers tonight, but I like them more as like a one-offs or mini stacks rather than a full-fledged stack. So
gotcha. All right, third baseman
Nolan
Arenado. Me and him do not vibe well, so I'll let you guys know if I'm playing him or not.
I'm sorry. He's the best third baseman.
It's not you that has to apologize. It's him.
He's the best third baseman in the National League. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Jake Lamb's also a good play. Third base is loaded again tonight. You got Josh Donaldson, who's, still back in Oakland. Miguel Sano, I talked about him a little bit earlier against James Paxton. I like him as a one-off or maybe even a mini stack with Brian Dozier. See if you could get a couple solo shots or anything or something out of there. Mike Moustakas, 270 ISO versus right-handed pitching this season. 374 WOBA. Probably going to be low-owned considering it's against Houston. And that pitching staff has been pretty good, but this is a good matchup for him. There's a lot of good ones.
How about Eduardo Nunez? Nobody is talking about this guy, and he has just been ripping and roaring here over the last, I don't know, week, 2 weeks, whatever. He's just absolutely running hot here. Had a great series in Philly, continued it yesterday. Homered there at Miller Park. Got a 9 total on that game. Could be a nice way to go. I can guarantee you nobody's going to be on him, but at least 21 FanDuel points in 3 of his last 4 games.
Yeah.
Another great hitting situation tonight.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, so.
Also, guys got stolen base upside, so you gotta like that. Let's see here. Manny Machado, I know he doesn't have great numbers against Ivan Nova, but I mentioned this in the article that I wrote on Saturday? Saturday. I was watching something on MLB Network about him, how he was changing his swing with the hitting coach and everything. And he had that great game on Sunday there against Chris Sale and the Red Sox, so I know he's priced all the way up to 3,800, but he's just been doing very well over the last couple of games.
Yes, he has. Eugenio Suarez as well. So for some reason, he's not being sorted in the DFSA grade, and I don't know why. But
interesting.
I'll figure it out. He's got a DFSA grade of 43. I do like him as well.
Yeah, Suarez is a guy that. Again, you're getting a guy in Great American Ballpark under $3,000 on FanDuel. Sorry if I keep bringing up FanDuel pricing because most of these other sites don't exist today. But, the $2,900 there at Great American Ballpark. I believe Adam Wainwright is worse against right-handers, if I'm not mistaken. I had it written down. Righties are hitting 302 against Wainwright this season. So, for $2,900 there. Load them up.
Yep, exactly.
Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. All right, any other third baseman for you?
Not really.
All right, sounds good to me. All right, shortstops.
Frankie Lindor, obviously he's going to be at the top of a lot of people's list today. I'm going to go back to Zach Cozart. Carlos Correa.
We just 302 average against Wainwright this season for righties.
Yep. Didi Gregorius. I mean, shortstop's actually kind of loaded tonight. Tulo had a good game last night. As I said, don't play Trey Turner. I mean, he just he continues. Let's see what Trey Turner had last night. It wasn't good. It wasn't great. He had a 6.2. So
I had him on I don't think we talked about this yesterday, but I had him on Sunday when he went for like 40.
He went for 40 on Sunday and he hasn't done anything since. Well, I mean, it was only Monday, so it was only one day.
It's
but
one day, let the man be.
Yeah, but I mean, still. Well, wait, who's pitching
tonight?
You can play Trey Turner tonight because he's going against a righty. He's going against Brandon McCarthy. So he's actually an option because he's going against a righty. But
how can we forget Carlos Correa? Granted, not the greatest hitting park, but he is still Carlos Correa. And hey, another surprise, another Met as Dribble Cabrera 2800 in Texas. Oh, Jesus, what are they doing? Brandon Crawford, I still like. He's been getting the double digits here over the ever since the Giants have been on this East Coast road trip. So he's 3200 against the Brewers tonight in Miller Park. And Angelton Simmons, $3,000 there against Norris at Comerica Park, another place where the ball's been flying out lately. So that's where I'm at. I like that Cozart play, though.
Yeah, I really like Cozart.
They said he's right on Seager's coattails for that starting shortstop. I mean, he should have it already, but, since it's a popularity contest, I get it.
Exactly. I also don't mind Jordy Mercer going against Kevin Gausman. I'm hoping he's going to be in that six hole.
He's in the two hole sometimes.
Yeah, but he does sometimes go to the two hole. What they've been doing is putting him in the seven hole and they've moved Kutch all the way down to the six hole. So there's definitely options there. But Jordy Mercer is not a bad idea. There's really, really, really not a lot of depth here. You've got Crawford against, Chase Anderson. It just kind of depends on exactly how much you want to spend. Orlando Arcia versus Matt Cain for $2,200.
Okay.
I'm trying to give like some value options. I think it's a middle of the pack kind of day for the shortstop position.
Yeah, we didn't mention also Eric Sogard for the Brewers. If he's batting lead off, they're projected to do well against Matt Cain tonight. 2800 FanDuel.
Yes.
Had a pretty good night last night. So you got those options. It'll be interesting to see what the Phillies do with their lineup. If the Andres Blanco is minimum price, I'm looking at that too. So if he's in the lineup, that'll be a decent way to go. I mean, I don't think he's the greatest right-handed hitter, but for minimum price, what are you going to do, right?
Exactly.
All right, outfielders, let's cap this son of a bitch off with these guys. So many good options. I'll let you begin here.
Charlie Blackmon.
Charlie!
I played this guy the other night, and he's going to be batting in the nine hole, but especially on DK, where he is pretty much free. Eric Young Jr.
yes, I like him.
He's got stolen base upside. He's basically like a more versatile version of Billy Hamilton. He's not going to hit for a high average. He's not going to put the ball out of the ballpark, but when he gets on, he is fast.
He has put one out this year.
He has. He did get one. I mean, he's sneaky poppy, but he's not really going to do it a lot.
The big drawback with a lot of people to him is that he usually bats either at the nine hole or the eight or the seven or something like that. So you can pretty much guarantee low ownership on him.
Yeah, exactly. I think the highest that I've seen him at has been right around 10%. So
I do want to see what his numbers are because he is getting turned around to the right side today. So I know most of his damage has been done from the left since he got called back up to the majors. Called back up to the majors, by the way. If you remember Eric Young, this is the same Eric Young Jr., son of the former major leaguer and former Met, I believe, Rocky.
Pretty much Eric Young will always, always hold a special place in my heart.
All right. Okay. Before we start dropping any tears on the pod.
No, he hit in the first game in Mile High Stadium in 1993 against the Montreal Expos. He hit the first pitch he saw out. Nice. And I was at that game. Nice. Me and my family were there. It was at Mile High Stadium. And that was the day I became a Rockies fan. So
Story time.
You know, it was a good day, and so he'll always hold a special place in my heart. I actually did get to watch Eric Young Jr. Along with him and Dex are actually really, really good friends. But I watched both of them come up through the Rockies farm system here in Tulsa. So
nice. Hey, speaking of your Rockies, and you mentioned your boy Charlie Blackmon, Gerardo Parra has actually been hitting pretty well, up over 300 now for the season. So yep. I don't mind him. Not that expensive either, 3,500 on FanDuel.
Carlos Gonzalez, we talked about him.
I'm not going to talk about
him. he's been hitting the ball a lot better.
There are so many outfielders to get to.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. In fact, we're not going to be able to get to all of them. Talked about Michael Brantley and Bradley Zimmer. Adam Frazier is a good one. I actually really like Heredia from Seattle if he's in the lineup, especially if he's in the leadoff spot. Aaron Judge and Aaron Hicks is a nice little good mini stack.
And in my Matt Holliday.
Matt Holliday is a first baseman on FanDuel.
Fuck yeah. Sorry, excuse my language, but yeah. All right.
But yes, he's a good option as well.
He
there.
Used to be in the AL. All right, let's not go.
Or did they move
like
him?
I got my no. Ever since the Greg Bird experiment disaster, and then he got injured and whatnot. Yeah, Halliday's been playing first. Well, that's the other thing too, because the Yankees got so many damn outfielders that they could realistically run out there. You know, it's been made a little more obvious since, you know, Ellsbury got the concussion and, you know, Holiday moved to first. But yeah, they got a lot of talent on that team. Again, not a bad problem to have when you got all that talent on your bench like the Astros have as well.
Yeah, exactly. You know, speaking of the Astros.
Yeah.
They're
good at baseball.
They are really good at baseball. Josh Reddick, if you're not playing him, you should be.
Speaking of Astros outfielders, they had George Springer on the MLB Network yesterday. Oh man, that guy, not a public speaker. Like, he was just like every sentence he was, I'm but again, he's not paid to speak. He's paid to play baseball.
He is not Josh Reddick.
I know, but we were talking about Astros outfielders.
I know, and Josh Reddick is an Astros outfielder. Josh Reddick is a great interview on when he gets.
Oh, I get what you're saying. All right, I see what you were doing there.
Yeah, so it's really, really, as KD starts yelling about Josh Reddick.
Yeah, he likes wrestling a little too much for my taste, but he's still a pretty funny guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some funniness in him. So,
and yeah, I don't like wrestling. I think it's stupid.
Yeah. JD Martinez is a good one. I mean, you, Chris Davis, yeah. NC Arte.
By the way, we got to take a look at JD Martinez because it's either if he's facing a lefty or every other day that he goes off. So just, that's his schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it works.
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Like, remember when he first got off the DL? It was every other day that he was going nuts. And then against lefties, his numbers are insane this season, like crazy person. Like, he's got like 4 homers and like 12 at-bats or some shit like that against left-handed pitching. Dude. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Michael Conforto against the former teammate, Dylan G.
Like a lot of that outfield for the Mets, too. Jay Bruce, Anderson for some salary relief, guys like that. I'm looking at JD Martinez's. It's so funny. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So there's a lot of outfielders.
Yeah, I got some guys I wanted to throw in there too. Don't forget David Peralta going up against a righty at home. That's money in the bank. I saw Hunter Renfro in that same game. He's got an 83-point-something DFSA grade. I don't mind who we got here. Andrew Benintendi tonight going up against Tanaka. And then one guy just got called up to the majors yesterday, Brett Phillips.
Is he eligible?
I believe he is. He certainly is. Yes, minimum price on FanDuel. But this is a very highly touted prospect in baseball. Made a nice play in the outfield last night, and then he had some communication out there, miscommunication out there with Domingo Santana, where he dropped a fly ball. But he was batting seventh last night, ended up getting his first major league hit late in the game. And again, minimum price up against Matt Cain tonight. This could work out very well.
Yeah, and speaking of which, you said Domingo Santana. I really like him as well. I want to point out that there's no way that it's not a pricing issue. but if you look at the outfielders on FanDuel, I do believe that they got, well, I can't even say that they got the 4 and the 5 mixed up, because that would mean he would be 4,500. But Franchi Cordero for the San Diego Padres is $5,400. Now, there is no way, if he is in the lineup, that anybody is going to play him, as they shouldn't.
Right. A lefty-on-lefty matchup, too.
Yes.
So he probably won't even be in the starting lineup.
But...
or I don't know how the Padres roll, but... Here's my thought, right? You now... maybe they would have made Hunter Renfro 4,500, and they messed up the number on him, because now that I see such a high DFSA grade on him, I'm wondering, is that price meant for him, and they just messed up the 4 and the 5? As I sit here and stroke my beard and ponder.
I don't know what they're thinking.
Obviously, they're thinking, I don't know what the hell they're thinking.
As we throw in some Bob Uecker. I led you right into that, and you took it. Thank you, sir.
Yes, yes.
I mean, obviously, they're thinking something. But anyways, just to let everybody know, that is probably a pricing error. He should not be played. He probably won't even be in the lineup. But if he's in the lineup, we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. I'm not going to waste any time here.
What are we doing? I don't even know how he wasn't the first name mentioned. Nelly Boomstick against the lefty.
Because I was hoping he would go overlooked.
Okay. No, I was
hoping he would go overlooked.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I don't.
Because we didn't. We haven't mentioned a lot of Mariners, and hopings that they're 5.18 implied team run total is going to go overlooked today, because everybody's going to be focused on James Paxton.
Fair enough. Hey, do you want to get really interesting here tonight? I'm looking right under Cruz on FanDuel, but Corey Dickerson's actually, if I'm not mistaken, he's the best hitter against left-handers that the Rays have this season. Now, I think he only has one homer against the lefty, but... that's still an interesting number there that he
still
is
has
one
over
better
300 hitter. ISO against left-handed pitching, though.
Yeah, so very interesting. Very interesting. That could work. All right, we all done with the outfielders?
Yeah.
All right, that means we are done with the podcast then. Once again, if you're not signed up with us, you like what you heard here, you can use the promo code PODCAST, sign up for the month or for the season or for the year, calendar year. And if you're not convinced yet, you can also try us for 7 days. You can use the promo code WIN and just see everything that we got going on. All of our VIP baseball tools, you get access to all these different DFSA grades, which have been immaculate with the hitting of late. So you definitely want to check those out. And then the Domination Station, which absolutely crushed it for NASCAR over the weekend. And we got golf. We got the U.S. Open coming up here in, 9 days, I believe. So all of that stuff's going to work, and you get to chat with all of us and the rest of our guys here on a regular basis. I believe we're at 500 members strong now, so join the masses.
Yeah, exactly. So get in. As we keep growing, we keep bringing more tools, and we keep having some fun. So we just keep winning.
Indeed. And shout out to Nelly Bixby, big Predators fan. Got the game 4 win in the Stanley Cup, and then took home $500 in MLB last night. So congrats to him for that. And then Texas Derek, good friend of what the hell is his name?
Clay Buchholz.
Yeah. I'm trying to forget him. But Yeah, he I believe he took down 250 last night. So two good wins for the Army. Not our best, but hey, any time that we're in the green, it's a good night for the Army. So that
is good to see. Exactly.
All right, we will be back tomorrow. I have no idea how many games there are or what the situation is with the afternoon games, but we will have a podcast tomorrow. And we'll see you then, folks. Peace.
Peace out.